Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, God the Son, and from God the Holy Spirit. Thanks for joining us for our Westminster Presbyterian Church worship service. And this is weird, right? Trying to gather together electronically. And so as we learn how to do this for this new season, a couple of notes about our worship service. And the first one is this: it's going to be real tempting to treat this like your favorite TV show, a sitcom, or a movie, and just sit back and watch. Another temptation is to fast forward to the good parts, or even to just let this run in the background while we're doing other things. I just want to urge you, sisters and brothers, please don't do that. We're gathering together with people all over the world in order to worship our God and lift up the name of Christ. So I urge you to engage with us. And we've worked really hard to make this worship service as normal as possible, as familiar as possible. And so if you don't have the bulletin, I want to encourage you right now, if you take a moment and just pause the video and go download the bulletin, print it out, or pull it up on another screen so that you can follow along with us. We want you to engage with us. We have a couple responsive readings. We want you to read from wherever you're watching. Read with us. A couple places, I'm going to ask us to stand. I know that's going to be weird. Some of you aren't going to do this. You know who you are. But encourage you anyway. Just give it a try. Just a couple places. Stand. It's just a way for us to try to keep this engaging. This is about participation. It's about worshiping our God together as the people of God. So once again, thanks for joining us for worship. Let's worship together.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb slain. Worthy is the King who conquers the grave. Worthy is the Lamb slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Worthy are you, our Lord and our God. Worthy are you, Lamb of God. Worthy are you, Holy Spirit. Worthy are you of our worship, of our adoration, and of our praise. We give thanks to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thanks to you for the gift that you've lavished on us of your amazing, abundant grace. And we ask now that by your Holy Spirit that you would lead us as we worship you. Father, would your name be exalted. Christ, would you be lifted high. Spirit, would you edify your people. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we go into our call to worship this morning from Isaiah chapter 63. And one of the things I think that happens to us often is we forget that our God is a warrior. In fact, we'll see in our text from Revelation that a day is coming when our God will come and he'll gather to himself his people and he'll crush his enemies. In fact, we see our warrior God in our call to worship, this passage we're going to read together from Isaiah chapter 63. I want to invite you to stand with us. I realize this is weird wherever you're watching this. It could feel weird to stand, but I want to encourage you to do that. Engage with us. Go ahead and give it a try and stand with us for the call to worship and join us in this reading. And in the reading from Isaiah chapter 63, actually we're going to begin by reading a portion of it together, all of God's people reading God's word together. Then I'll read a portion, we'll once again read a portion together, and then I'll close the call to worship by reading a portion again. Isaiah chapter 63, please stand and let's read together. Together now. Who is this who comes from Edom in crimson garments from Bozrah? He who is splendid in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. It is I, speaking in righteousness, mighty to save. Once again, let's read this part together. Why is your apparel red, and your garments like his who treads in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. I trod them in my anger and trampled them in my wrath. Their lifeblood spattered on my garments and stained all my apparel. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and my year of redemption had come. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled, but there was no one to uphold. So my own arm brought me salvation, and my wrath upheld me. I trampled down the peoples in my anger. I made them drunk in my wrath, and I poured out their lifeblood on the earth. Feel free to be seated if you'd like, or remain standing as we sing together.
King, all glorious above, all gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might, oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space. His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. The earth with its store of wonders untold, Almighty your power has founded of old, established it fast by a changeless decree, and around it has cast like a mantle the sea. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in you do we trust, nor find you to fail. In mercies how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
We worship this living God because we know that we're sinners saved by grace. God has established from the beginning of time His grace, and one of the ways that He does that is through our confession of sin and His covering of our sin. In the Old Testament, we saw that happening through animal sacrifice, where that blood would cover our sin. And now, in this New Testament era, we know that Christ is the last blood that has to be shed. While we still sin, it's important for us to remember that we confess our sins to the Lord, repent of those sins, turn from those sins, ask for forgiveness for those sins. So today, our call to confession is going to be from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. The body of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through His own blood. Therefore, let us go to Him outside the camp and bear the reproach He endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Let's sing together our song of confession.
Alas, and in my Savior plea, and in my sovereign die, would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I had done He groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shine His glory. The mighty Maker died for man, the creature's sin. Thus might I hide in my blushing face while His dear cross appears. In thankfulness that melted mine eyes in tears, but drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I myself away, 'tis all that I can do.
Sing that last line again.
Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do.
Having confessed our sins in song, hear now this assurance of pardon from Matthew chapter 13. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man and his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Let's sing together our song of assurance.
Out of the depths I cry to you, in darkness places I will call. Incline your ear to me anew, and hear my cry for mercy, Lord. Were you to count my sinful ways, how could I come before your throne? Yet full forgiveness meets my gaze. I stand between by grace alone. I will wait for you, I will wait for you on your word. I will rely, I will wait for you. Surely wait for you till my soul is satisfied. So put your hope in God alone. Take courage in his power to save. Completely and forever one. By Christ emerging from the grave. I will wait for you, I will wait for you on your word. I will rely, I will wait for you, surely wait for you till my soul is satisfied. His steadfast love has made a way, and God himself has paid the price, that all who trust in him today find healing in his sacrifice. Sing, I will wait. I will wait for you, I will wait for you on your word. I will rely, I will wait for you, surely wait for you, till my soul is satisfied. I will wait for you, I will wait for you, through the storm and through the night. I will wait for you, surely wait for you, for your love. My delight. Out of the depths I cry to you. In darkest places I will call. Incline your ear to me anew. and hear my cry for mercy, Lord.
At this time, we're going to take an offering, and I just want to remind you, people of God, that offering is not an interruption in our worship service, but it's a really important part of our worship service, because during the offering, we're reminding ourselves that all that we have comes from God, and all that we have belongs to God, and is to be used for His glory. So even though we're not meeting in person, I want to encourage you, please continue to give. You can drop by the office to drop off an offering. You can mail a check to the offering. And you can give online using our website. And use this time here. Use this time now to continue to thank God for all that He's given to us and to surrender ourselves more and more to Jesus for His glory.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In green pastures He makes me lie down. He restores my soul and leads me on for His name. For His great name, surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me, all my days, and I will dwell in Your house forever. Bless Your holy name. You prepare a table right before me in the presence of my enemies. Though the arrow flies and the terror night is at my door, I'll trust You, Lord. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me, all my days, and I will dwell in Your house for Your holy name. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, You are on my side. Shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, You are on my side. Surely good. Right beside me all my days, and I will dwell in Your house forever. and bless your holy name. One
of the privileges that we have as God's people is to pray with and for one another. So will you join me as we go before our God in prayer? Father, we give thanks to you for all your goodness that you have lavished upon us in Jesus Christ. As we remember here in the offering that all good gifts come down from you. All that we have is from you, and all that we have belongs to you and is to be used for your glory. And so we give thanks to you for all that you've given to us. Thank you for these gifts and for the ways that you have provided for us. And we pray that you would bless the offering. We pray that you would bless the gifts that your people send to your church. And would you use them, Father, to advance your gospel, your kingdom, the glory and fame of your name. Thank you for your goodness and mercy that you've lavished on us. And thank you for this promise as we remember through Psalm 23 that even through the valley of the shadow of death, even though terror is at our door, you comfort us with your presence. You comfort us and sustain us with your grace. And so, Father, whatever is happening in our lives, in our families, in our world, would you comfort us with your presence? Would you sustain us with your grace? We pray that, Father, this morning, especially for Celeste Foley and for her family. God, we were taken by surprise at how swiftly you took Tim. And yet we trust in your goodness, we trust in your kindness, we trust in your perfect timing. You who rule over history. And we give thanks to you, Father, that he left this life peacefully. We give thanks to you for the hope of the resurrection and for that glorious day when he'll have all of his fingers and his feet and no more battling with this flesh and this body, because he'll have a glorified body. And oh God, how we long for that day. But while we wait, Tib's absence is real to us. And our hearts grieve, and so we pray, Father, would you hide us, hide Celeste, hide her family in the shadow of your wings. Would we hear your songs of comfort as you sing over us? Would you comfort us by your presence? Would you sustain us by your grace? We pray that, Father, for others still grieving, for Connie Fullhart, grieving the death of her sister, for Rod Cain, grieving the death of his mom. Father, comfort your people. Sustain them by your grace. We pray, Father, for Rita Wangler suffering a mild stroke this week, and because of what's happening in our world, she can't get to the hospital, to the doctors. She's struggling with speech, and so she can't talk to her family, and her family can't be with her. God, would you comfort her? Would you comfort Gary and their family? Would you give your mercy, Father? We long to see your mercy. We long to see your kindness. How she longs to be with you and with Tim and no longer suffering in her body. Until then, Father, would you give us endurance? Would you give us faith? Would you give us grace? Would you comfort us with your presence? Would you sustain us with your grace? In this time, Father, in our world, we pray, Father, with your people all over the world, that you would end this virus and its spread, that you would bring about a cure, that you would bring about a vaccine, that you would give wisdom to our leaders. Father, we pray for peace. We pray in this unique season, Father, that your gospel would go out. Would you equip your people everywhere to spread the good news of Jesus, to be a calming presence, to offer hope that comes through the resurrection of Jesus and that promise of that day where there will be no more disease. Would you even use us, Father? Would you sustain our missionaries throughout the world as they wonder how the virus and the economy is going to impact the giving to them? Would you sustain them? Sustain churches. Sustain your people. Provide for small businesses and hourly workers. And God, give courage and faith to your people. Sustain us with your presence. Comfort us with your presence. Sustain us with your grace. And would you do that now as we look at your word? Your word by and which your Holy Spirit gives us grace and mercy, and we meet you. So Holy Spirit, lead us. Make your word effective to us for our salvation. Comfort us with your presence. Sustain us with your grace. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. People of God, would you please turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. I'm going to be reading from verse 14 to verse 20 to the end of the chapter. Revelation chapter 14 from verse 14 to 20. And once again, I'm going to ask if you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. I know it may be weird wherever you are, but let's stand together. As we hear the reading of God's word, Revelation chapter 14, beginning at verse 14. This is the word of the Lord. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud, one like a son of man, with a golden crown on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hand. Another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is fully ripe." So he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle across the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple in heaven. He too had a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, the angel who has authority over the fire. And he called with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, "Put in your sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe." So the angel swung his sickle across the earth and gathered the grape harvest of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and the blood flowed from the winepress as high as a horse's bridle for 1,600 stadia. This ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray and give thanks to him for it. Oh, Father, we do give thanks to you for your word. And we pray and ask now by your Holy Spirit that you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to understand. Cause us, Father, here in your word to know you more, that we might love you better and so love like you love. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? Well, today, in this moment in our time and in our history, we are exceptionally mindful of protecting ourselves, right? Wash your hands, clean the frequently touched surfaces, cover your mouths when you cough or sneeze, isolate, and social distance. And we absolutely we need to do these things. These are really important, they're really practical, and frankly, we probably ought to practice these things with any illness, flu, stomach bug, anything going around. And so friends, loved ones, please keep practicing these things. Do your part to help flatten the curve and to keep those around you safe. We need to practice good hygiene. We need to practice healthy habits. But if we're not careful, and again, hear me really clearly, right? We need to do all these things that we're doing. I'm all in. Please keep doing them. But if we're not careful, an unintended consequence, a temptation, a danger here is this. Our whole lives right now can quickly become self-focused and self-centered. So for example, if you've got children at home right now, your day is spent navigating e-learning, right? How do we do this? Many of you right now trying to figure out, how do we work from home? And all of us, we're trying to figure out where we can buy a roll of toilet paper, right? If we're not careful, these new habits, this new world that we're all trying to navigate, it can quickly reinforce our already selfish tendencies. You know, all these things, they can turn us further inward so that all we think about is ourselves, all we think about is our families, all we think about is our own needs and our own inconveniences. It's now, this time, as much as ever, that we need to remember our Savior. We need to remember our Savior who did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, but instead he emptied himself, became human, lived, suffered, died on a cross for us, emptied himself for us, rose again from the dead for us. This is the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus Christ, that while we were still sinners, while we were outsiders, Jesus died and rose for us. In this time of anxiety, in this time of uncertainty, our world needs this good news. The people around us, they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now, more than ever, we, the people of Jesus, we need to be mindful of sharing this good news of Jesus with the people around us. I think this was part of what drives some of the things that we read in the book of Revelation. You know, read through Revelation, the end is coming. That is certain. This is a fact. The end is coming. A day is coming when Jesus Christ will return and he'll gather his people and he'll crush his enemies. But that day is not yet. Look, I know sometimes it feels like the end is near or maybe already here. Watch the news, right? Listen to world events, a tornado in Nashville, earthquake in Utah, a virus spreading all over the world, and yet, people of God, we're still here. Jesus has not yet returned, and that means there is still time to share the good news of Jesus. Share the good news. That's the message today. Share the good news of Jesus Christ, because, as we'll see this morning in Revelation chapter 14, Jesus rules history. Share the good news because Jesus gathers his people. Share the good news because Jesus crushes his enemies. Share the good news of Jesus because Jesus rules history, because Jesus gathers his people, because Jesus crushes his enemies. First, this morning, Jesus rules history. Look at verse 14, the first verse of our text, verse 14 of Revelation chapter 14. In verse 14, the Apostle John, he looks up, and he sees one like the Son of Man sitting on a cloud with a gold crown on his head. Now this is, if you know the Old Testament very well, this is clearly a reference to a similar vision that the prophet Daniel had in the Old Testament. Now, at that time of the prophet Daniel in the Old Testament, the people of Israel, they were exiles in Babylon. And I want you to imagine with me. Imagine what it was like to have the Babylonian army come in and force you out of your home, to rip you away from your family, to be carried away by a foreign army. You don't know their language, you don't know their culture, but you feel their violence as they push you, as they chain you, as they force you to march hundreds of miles to another country. That's what happened to the Israelites. They're carried away, living as slaves in Babylon. And it's right there in the midst of their suffering, in the midst of their slavery, in the midst of their hardship, God gives his people a vision of hope. It's a vision. This comes from Daniel chapter 7. It's a vision in which the prophet Daniel, he sees the one who's sitting over history, the one who rules all history. He sees the Messiah. He sees the Savior. The prophet Daniel sees Jesus, who rules history, sees him coming to judge the nations and to gather his people so they can go home, so that they can have peace and rest, so that they can have a sense of normal. And then he sees the Savior, this one who rules history, coming to crush his enemies and the enemies of his people. This was the hope, the promise that carried God's people through this incredible time of suffering, when their whole world was turned upside down, when everything changed for them. God was reminding them that Jesus rules history. Jesus rules history. None of this that's happening in your life or in our world, none of this is a surprise. None of this is scary to Jesus. Jesus rules history. When God's people were suffering, when their whole world was turned upside down, God reminded his people, Jesus rules history. But actually, this caused God's people some confusion many years later. So a lot of years later, Jesus Christ comes in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary. He grows up and he begins to gather disciples to himself, and he starts to teach them, starts to disciple them. And Jesus in his teaching often uses this expression, the Son of Man. Right? It's the same expression that Daniel uses in Daniel chapter 7. And so as the disciples, they're hearing Son of Man, they're thinking Daniel chapter 7, and they begin to think, Jesus is coming to gather his people. Jesus is coming to crush his enemies. The end is now. The time is here. Jesus is going to gather his people and crush his enemies. But then in Jesus' teaching, they begin to hear him say things like this. The kingdom of heaven, it's like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven, it's like a farmer who goes out to sow his seed. You know, some of it falls on the path and some on the thorns and some in rocky places, some on good soil. The kingdom of heaven, it's like a farmer who goes out to sow his seed. And the disciples, understandably, mind you, the disciples are a little bit confused. You see, all of the Old Testament texts, they promised a harvest. They promised a day when it was coming when Jesus would harvest the nations. And so Daniel 7 is supposed to be a day of reckoning, a day of salvation, a day of harvest. And yet, Jesus is talking about sowing seeds. Jesus is talking about planting. And the disciples in the crowd, that's not what they want to hear. They want to see Jesus crush their enemies. They wanted to see Jesus crush and conquer Rome and gather his people and bring about a sense of normal again. But Jesus is talking about spreading seeds. You see, that's because Jesus didn't come the first time in order to harvest his enemies. He didn't come that first time to crush his enemies. He came to bring salvation. He came to die for our sins and to rise again, conquering death and sin and evil. He came that first time to spread the seed of the good news about Jesus Christ. You see, friends, this is the age of the church. This is the age of seed planting and of sowing. This is the age of spreading the good news about Jesus Christ. The harvest is coming. We'll talk about that in a moment. But right now, now is a time of planting, a time of sowing, a time of watering. It's the time for sharing the good news about Jesus. I heard Tim Keller say once, Tim Keller, he was a pastor in New York City, now retired. He's an author and a scholar. And he was pastoring in New York City when 9/11 happened. And he said that right after 9/11, he said, people were flocking to churches afterwards. The people, that they're desperate for answers. The people, they were confronted with death, and they longed for hope. And so large crowds of folks who hadn't been to church in years, many hadn't been to church ever, and these large crowds of folk running to the church trying to find answers. People of God, that's right now. That's our time. People are afraid. People are scared. People are confused. And they need the good news of Jesus Christ. But here's the challenge. It's hard to go to church right now because we're all online. So how will they hear? How will the crowds hear? How will the people looking for answers hear? God's people have to go to them. People of God, you have to reach out and tell your loved ones about Jesus Christ. You have to be the one to share the good news. And look, I get it. How do we share the good news when we're all stuck inside? You got to reach out. Look, my kids, they're doing e-learning too, but I'm watching. There are all kinds of ways to chat. There's all kinds of ways to video conference in your workplaces, having meetings together, or you could just make a good old-fashioned phone call. And we have this really unique opportunity here because it's really easy to engage someone in conversation. All you have to do is ask, how's all this stuff affecting you? And people are going to share. How's your family adjusting? Right? Things are crazy right now, aren't they? How's this impacting you? And then listen. All you got to do is ask a couple questions and listen and be ready to share the hope of the gospel. I know it's a scary time. We're tempted to be afraid too. But Jesus rules history, and we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid because Jesus promises a place where there are no more diseases. It's that easy, folks. How's this impacting you? There's a place where there's no more disease. So people of God, who will you call? Who's God putting on your heart right now? Who will you reach out to? Now's the time to share the good news of Jesus. This is still a seed planting season. People of God, share the good news of Jesus. And then hear Revelation 14. It won't always be planting time. This is what John sees in Revelation 14 and in verse 14. He sees the Son of Man. He sees Jesus. He sees the Savior coming back to earth, because a day is coming. A day is coming when Jesus will return, and he'll gather to himself his people, and he'll crush his enemies. Until then, we must share the good news about Jesus Christ, because Jesus rules history. Jesus rules history. And he's driving history. History is leading up to this day when Jesus is going to harvest the nations. He's going to return. He's going to harvest the nations. He's going to gather his people to himself, and he'll crush his enemies. In this first paragraph, Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 to 16, what we see is Jesus gathering his people. Jesus gathers his people. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, then an angel cries out and says, "Put your sickle in and reap, for the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is fully ripe." Now this word ripe, it comes from the word which means to be dried. And scholars here believe this refers here to the yellow stalks of grain that have these heads of mature seed. This is the grain harvest. This is the wheat harvest. And it's a reference here to believers, to the people of God, to followers of Jesus. So, for example, look at verse 4, Revelation chapter 14, verse 4. This is in the section right before ours. And in verse 4, what we see are the people of God who have already died, those who have passed from this life into the presence of God. And look what it says, verse 4 of Revelation chapter 14. "These have been redeemed, and they are the first fruits for God and for the Lamb." They're the first fruits. This is a reference to the Israelite Feast of Weeks, a celebration that the people of God had every year in the Old Testament, where God's people came together and they bring an offering to give thanks to God for the upcoming wheat harvest. It was a first fruits harvest, a celebration to God. Thank you for God for what you're about to do and bring in the wheat harvest. So what's happening in Revelation 14, verse 4, is this. God is telling us that the people of Jesus who die in this life, followers of Jesus, who have already passed into his presence, they're the first fruits of a harvest. They've already entered their rest. Right? Verse 13, "Blessed are those who die in the Lord. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, because they rest from their labors." People of God, this is the comfort for all of us who have lost loved ones to death. This is our comfort for those of us who have lost people who are followers of Jesus. They're now with the Lord. They're resting. People of God, take comfort, have hope, because those who die in the Lord are resting with Jesus Christ. And Revelation 14 is telling us they're just the beginning. They're only a foretaste, right? They're the first fruits of the harvest when all of God's people will be gathered together, because in the end, Jesus gathers his people. Final harvest, when Jesus gathers all of his people to himself, this harvest that's coming, that day, knowing that one day we will rest from our labors, knowing that one day we will be with our Savior, that's what enables us to endure. That's what enables us to press on and to persevere through whatever this life throws at us. We can endure because a day is coming when Jesus is going to gather us to himself. This is our courage, friends. Our courage for endurance. It's also our motivation for sharing the good news about Jesus. Because only those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, only those who trust in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, only those who put their trust in Jesus will be gathered together with Jesus' people at that end time harvest. Only Jesus' people enter that rest. Only Jesus' people will be harvested into his presence. Jesus gathers his people. So share the good news about Jesus. Jesus gathers his people. But Jesus also crushes his enemies. Jesus rules history. History, it's leading up to this day when Jesus returns, and on that day, Jesus will harvest the nations, he'll gather his people to himself, and he'll crush his enemies. Jesus crushes his enemies. In the Old Testament, wine is an image of judgment. And for a couple of reasons. First, wine and drunkenness throughout the Old Testament is used as an image of judgment by using the confusion, the disorientation, the lack of self-control that comes when someone gets totally and completely drunk. It's an image in the Old Testament of judgment upon an enemy. So, for example, you read through the books of Isaiah, you read through and Jeremiah, and often God, through these prophets, he proclaims judgment by saying he'll make his enemies drunk with his wrath. We read that actually as a call to worship this morning. God says he will make his enemies drunk with his wrath, they will drink the cup of his judgment, they'll fall into a drunken stupor, and then they will endure the judgment of God. This is actually what we see early in Revelation chapter 14. You look at verse 10, Revelation chapter 14, verse 10. The enemy of God, this person who rejects Jesus, verse 10, they will drink the wine of God's wrath. Full strength wine, full strength judgment, keep reading, which leads to torment and destruction. Wine in the Bible, it's a picture of judgment upon God's enemies. It's also a picture of judgment because of the deep red color of wine. It can often look like blood. And so part of the image in the Old Testament, it's this crushing of grapes and the oozing out of the blood-red juice. This is an image of battle. It's an image of war and conquest and the blood of the soldiers on a field of battle. And so wine in the Old Testament, it becomes this image of an army crushing another army and blood flowing and covering the field. You can see this in our text. Look at verse 20. Verse 20, the blood from this harvesting, it's as high as a horse's bridle, and it flows about 180 miles. So much blood. Total conquering, total judgment from God. Wine in the Bible is a picture of judgment upon God's enemies. And so when we come to this section at the end of Revelation chapter 14, the second paragraph, another angel is told to put out the sickle and gather a different harvest. In our first paragraph, we see Jesus gathers his people through the image of grain and wheat being gathered together. But now, look at the end of verse 18. Now the harvest is of grapes. We're looking now at the harvest of those who have rejected Jesus, those who refuse to put their hope and trust in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We're talking about the people who continue to live as though they'll never give an account to God for their lives, those who do not submit to the kingship, who refuse to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And look at what happens to these at that final harvest. Verse 19. These are gathered, and they're trampled in the wine press. They're crushed because of their rebellion against God and their rejection of Jesus. They endure the wrath of God. And notice verse 20. They're outside the city of God. Listen, friends, those who reject Jesus Christ, they will not enter that eternal rest. Those who reject Jesus Christ, they don't get to live in that new world, that world that Jesus is bringing where he makes everything right and new and whole again, where every evil is banished, where every disease and sickness is no more. Those who reject Jesus Christ, they will not enter that city. They'll be crushed by the wrath of Jesus. They'll be left out in darkness. People of God, this is a hard word. It's a hard word, but it's a true word. A day is coming when Jesus will crush his enemies, when the wrath of God will be poured out upon all those who reject Jesus Christ and continue to live apart from relationship with him. But this is exactly why we need to share the good news about Jesus. This is exactly why we need to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Feel this urgency, sisters and brothers. See the need and see this opportunity that God wants to use us to draw his people to himself. Jesus rules history. Jesus gathers his people. But Jesus will crush his enemies and crush all those who reject him. Listen, friend, if you're watching this today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, make today the day. Make today the day that you put your hope in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's easy. You just pray, right? Pray with me. God, please forgive my sins. Forgive me because Jesus died and rose for me. That's it. God, forgive my sins because Jesus died and rose for me. And if you're praying that for the first time today, would you reach out to us? Reach out to us. You'll find our contact on our website. We'd love to help you in what's next. What does it look like to follow Jesus? We'd love to be a part of that. Would you reach out to us if you're praying that for a first time? Jesus rules over history. People of God, look, nothing happening in your life, nothing happening today, nothing happening in your family, nothing happening out there in the whole world, nothing happening is a surprise to Jesus Christ. He rules over history. And he's driving history toward that day when he returns, that day when he comes back. And he harvests the people. He gathers his people to himself. And he crushes his enemies. Dear loved ones, we must share the good news of Jesus. Share the good news of Jesus because Jesus rules history. Because Jesus gathers his people. And Jesus crushes his enemies. Will you pray with me? Father, we give thanks to you that you have in your, as the offering song, because of your goodness and mercy, you have shared your good news with us. That Jesus Christ lived, that he suffered, that he died on a cross, that he rose again from the dead, that we might have life and have life eternal. We give thanks to you for the good news. We give thanks to you for those who have shared it with us. We give thanks to you for your pursuing spirit. We give thanks to you for those who, listening to this, have put their hope in you for the first time. And we pray, Father, that you would give us boldness, that you would give us courage, that you would give us an urgency to proclaim the good news of Jesus wherever we are. And even now, many of us being confined, would you give us the courage? Would you lay someone on our heart that we could call and share the hope of Jesus with? Thank you that you reign over history. Thank you for the promise that day is coming when you're going to come back and take us to be with you and put an end to all those who oppose you and reject Jesus. Until then, give us courage and faith, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen. People of God, When John looks up, he sees his king seated on the cloud, crowned with a golden crown. Let's end our worship together by crowning Jesus with our praises. Crown him with many crowns. Let's sing together.
Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side. Rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his burning eye at mysteries so bright. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways. From pole to pole, that wars may cease, absorbed in prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet fair flowers of paradise extend their fragrance ever sweet. Crown him the Lord of years, the potentate of time, creator of the rolling spheres, ineffably sublime. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity.
And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you, one more time, would you stand as we receive the benediction, as God blesses and sends us out, and then we'll respond with the doxology. Would you please stand and receive from the Lord as he blesses us? I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. And now may the peace of God guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Alleluia. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.